You are listening to Forbidden Opinions, discussing things we are not supposed to talk about. I am Mr. Book, your humble narrator. We are hearing it often said that the rich should be made to pay their fair share in taxes. That statement has a few problems because, at face value, practically no one would disagree with that. Everyone should pay their own fair share in taxes, really, what it comes down to. But the problem with that statement, and this is a statement that is used frequently, in fact, Bernie Sanders' own page says, making the rich pay their fair share in taxes. The problem with that is that people don't define what the rich means and what fair share actually means either. How can you make such a statement without knowing what either of those means? For example, the rich. Well, a lot of times we've heard that the 1% is a target, but I bet most people don't even realize what that means. According to a CNBC report, in order to be in the top 1% of U.S. earners, a family needs to earn around $422,000. Now, a lot of people would love to have that salary. But that's not the multimillionaires that Bernie Sanders seems to be talking about, is it? People who make $422,000 a year? Because one of the complicating factors is that these are politicians talking about taxing the rich, and federal policy applies across the board to all citizens. So that means whatever tax rate is decided for somebody who makes $400,000 or more a year is going to have a lot of different effects depending on where that person lives. For example, in California, average rent for a two-bedroom apartment is around $2,500 a month. In most of the country, it's half that, and in some places, even a third. So the cost of living in California obviously means the definition of rich will change. When it comes down to it, if you have an income of $50,000 a year, you cannot support a family in California. However, you can in a lot of other places in the country. That brings up a separate question. Is that a case of too bad, don't live in California? Well, that's a possibility. There's literally and figuratively a tax for the privilege of living in California. Some people may say, well, I want to live in California and I don't want to be poor either. So what do? But back to the point of taxing the rich. The main point being when people throw out these numbers, they're general. Tax the rich doesn't mean tax people making over a certain amount of money with a certain percentage, because if you notice, they also don't say what percent of income they should pay. They instead focus on, quote, billionaires and, quote, multimillionaires, so that way it doesn't seem like they're talking about more modestly living people. Really, what make the rich pay their fair share means is make the rich continually pay more until they aren't rich. The top 1% of Americans make about 21% of the income in the country, yet they pay 38% of the taxes. So they are actually paying almost double their share of the taxes compared to how much dollar for dollar money they make. The top 2 to 5%, meaning people who make around $200,000 to $500,000, they make about 15% of the income in the country and pay 21% of the taxes. So again, they're paying about 1.5 times their share of the taxes. Interestingly, the middle class, those making somewhere around $150,000 to $200,000, pay about parity. They make about 11% of the money and they pay about 11% of the taxes. Those making under $150,000, they pretty much pay less than their share of the taxes. Now, some people could say, well, that's fair. Why? Because if you make more, you should pay more. The philosophy being that if you make more than you need to subsist, then you should spread the wealth to those who are struggling. Yet the same people who say that, when asked if they would voluntarily give up some of their GPA to somebody making a lower GPA, certainly say no, that would be clearly unfair. So hypocrisy reigns in those areas. Because you could make the argument that a 4.0 student could give a D student 1 point of GPA, and therefore the 4.0 student would get a 3.0 and the D student would pass. That would help both. That would mean that the 4.0 student still excels and the struggling student still gets by. But for some reason, everyone seems to think that that's unfair, the assumption being that the student who got 4.0 somehow earned it by harder work. But you could equally make the argument that that same 4.0 student probably had various levels of privilege, such as parents who were educated, and therefore raised them with that value for education. In addition, they could have even paid for tutors. or any number of other things that would have given that 4.0 student an advantage. So why doesn't the logic apply in both cases? Again, I go back to my original thesis that saying make the rich pay their fair share in taxes is simply code for make the rich not be rich. Other people would bring up that the ultra wealthy don't make money the same way that paycheck employees do, and that's true. The ultra wealthy ultimately make their money through scalable things such as businesses and investments, which aren't a one-to-one direct relationship between their time and their income. So therefore, there's a thought that because they're not toiling hour for hour in order to make that money, that they're less entitled to it. But often those payoffs are in exchange for taking on risk, and risk should be tied with reward. If there wasn't, then new ventures would never be created. One of the prime motivations of innovation is the possibility of success and payoff if that's related to that. Like it or not, all of the dot-com, social media, mobile technology that we have now is the result of risk that paid off. And there are those who suggest that taxing the rich should be done through their wealth, not necessarily just through their income. We'll take a look at that in a separate discussion. Another reason why I believe that make the rich pay their fair share is a statement made by disingenuous people is because the other examples that are often held up are surely not what these same people are talking about. For example, Sweden is often held up as a progressive way to tax the wealthy and create safety nets for the less fortunate. But if you take a look at Sweden, I'm pretty certain that the same people touting it as an example of how we should run our tax system would reject the Swedish tax system. For example, in Sweden, if you are in the top bracket, which means you make about $70,000 a year or more, you pay approximately 55% tax on your income. In addition, you pay the VAT tax, which is essentially a national sales tax of 25% on everything except for some things like groceries, books, newspapers, etc., which pay a half or a quarter of that rate. But really, you're paying 25% sales tax plus 55% income tax, so you're paying up to 75% tax on something you buy based on how much you have to earn in order to purchase it. Then all this drops down to the lowest tax rate, which is between zero and around $40,000 to $50,000. If you make in that range, you will pay around 30% tax on your income. Really, in Sweden, there's only three tax brackets, the ranging between 30% and 55% on income tax. Yet I would challenge anyone to find a U.S. politician that would claim that this is fair in their eyes. So what do we do? Knowing that the amount of money it costs to raise a family in any state is different than all the other states, we need to find a fair tax system. We need to keep in mind that when they say the 1%, they're talking about people who make over $400,000 and not millionaires and billionaires exclusively. When they say the rich, that's also what they mean, unless they specify specifically. And if they say millionaires and billionaires, that's fine. But there's a lot of difference between somebody who makes $1 million a year and $900 million a year. So I fault them with having imprecise language just to have a soundbite. And lastly, and most egregiously in my opinion, they never define what fair share is. Again, I believe that it simply means more no matter what. That's all for now. If you've enjoyed listening to this, please go to forbiddenopinions.com and leave a comment. If you think there's something I've missed, by all means, I want to hear it. Leave a challenge or a question at forbiddenopinions.com, and I will attempt to address as many as possible in an upcoming episode. If you know somebody who would enjoy or should hear this as well, or think about these things, please share this with others. Thank you for taking a moment to listen. Until next time.